Time's now 5:32, and we are joined now on the phone by the voice of the UNC women's basketball team, who is suddenly red hot. You hear his voice on here all the time and will continue to do so on Thursdays and Sundays going forward for the rest of the season. Matt Krause joins us on the phone. Matt, thank you so much for being on the show.
Andrew, thanks so much for having me. While that forecast for the next couple of days may sound bad, it's not the snow that we saw in South Bend over the weekend where the Tar Heels were yesterday.
That's right. That is a tough place to play, even though you're indoors. The record there has not been great. And you're talking about that. Reminds me of a joke. I come from Indiana, and the joke used to be that when they were moving out west to plan to have this Catholic college, the weather got so bad when they were in South Bend that they decided to stop there and wait it out, and they're still there.
I love it.
So I did want to talk about that game in particular, but kind of in more general terms, how surprised are you to see this team come out 3-0 in the ACC? I mean, we knew they had the talent, but they weren't exactly firing on all cylinders going into the ACC season.
Yeah, and that's a really good point you make, Andrew, is that this team had the talent. So in that regard, it's not a huge surprise that this team is 3-0 because of the roster that Courtney Banghart has assembled for the Tar Heels. But on the flip side, you look at where Carolina was. They were in a spot headed into the Oklahoma game, which was the final game of non-conference play. That was part of the Jumpman Invitational in Charlotte. And if Carolina had lost that game, they would end non-conference play 7-5 with their best non-league win coming against Davidson. And that Oklahoma game was such a swing game because Tar Heels beat a Sooner team that's been kind of a fringe top 25-ish team all season long. And so all of a sudden now you've got that Power 5 win and you're 8-4 into conference play. And that momentum has really kept on going. So I think things started to turn right around the end of non-conference play, right before Christmas, and player availability has had a big reason why Carolina has been able to get on this little run here.
Let's talk about player availability just a little bit, because I know last year that ended up being an issue. I was pretty high on the roster as it was constructed last year as well, and then there was kind of a lull in kind of two-thirds of the way through the season where they were just battling injuries and couldn't get the right five on the court at the same time. How is this team feel a little bit deeper and more able to kind of navigate that to you?
Absolutely. This team has the full 14 scholarships being utilized, plus a walk-on for the first time in Coach Banghart's tenure at Carolina. So it's 15 players deep. And unfortunately, Tar Heels are without Kayla McPherson for the remainder of the season. She sustained another injury, went through yet another surgery, just a tough, tough setback for someone who is such a fun competitor to watch. And then two of the highly touted freshmen that were coming into the program this year in Sierra Toomey and Layla Hull both announced prior to this season that they would redshirt. But if you take those three out of the equation, the game against Notre Dame was the first time all year in which there were no question marks as to who might be available for the Tar Heels. Everybody was either available or publicly announced that they're out for the season. And yet the Tar Heels still had 12 players available. You contrast that to Notre Dame, they're battling injuries themselves. They played just six players in that game. And so simply having more bodies has been such a key for Carolina to be able to withstand some of the ups and downs early on in this season.
We're visiting with Matt Krause talking UNC women's basketball as they suddenly look like as good of a team as there is out there. I wanted to flash back to the game against, was it the Syracuse game where Alyssa Usby had the triple-double? I was listening to that in the car with my 9-year-old son, and we were listening to your call of the game, and he said, he's saying literally everything that happens. And I was like, yeah, he's good. He can get all that in. And then right after that, Alyssa Usby did something where you just said, oh, wow. And I was like, what has made Matt Krause just say, oh, wow? So generally speaking, how fun has it been to get to watch that player courtside all these games this season?
It's been an absolute blast. And sometimes you're left with nothing else to say but, oh, wow. I believe that was a fantastic pass that she had for yet another assist or was on the receiving end of a great pass. But it was a moment late there in that game. But she is playing with an aggression and a confidence that we've seen at points from her throughout her career, but it seems to be at an all-time high. The ability to execute the offense in transition. She is such a force on the glass. That's something that South Carolina, the number one team in the country, really had to deal with when they barely escaped Carmichael Arena with a win earlier on this year. And then Usby's ability to distribute is at a level it's never been at in her career. First Tar Heel with 10 assists in a game since 2019. And somewhat wildly, 7 of those 10 went to one player in Maria Gakdeng. Usby's high basketball IQ and motor finally coming together in just a nationally recognized level. Just such a special moment for her on Thursday.
Yeah, it was a little bit shocking when it sunk in that the triple double had happened. You just don't see it very often in the college game, men's or women's, just because of the lack of possessions. And you need a lot of possessions to pull off a triple-double. So it's a really economical, efficient, and dominant performance from Alyssa Usby there. And we hope to see more of those going forward. Wondered if we could talk just a little bit more kind of looking backward. What has surprised you about this team so far?
I think surprising in a good way is the ability of different players to step up game in and game out. Alyssa Usby, as we just talked about, had the first triple-double in program history, yet didn't win ACC Player of the Week because she was held to only 7 points in the game against Notre Dame. But yet in the game against the Irish, India Navarre, who's a transfer from Stanford, first year in the program, an Apex native, so she's a local kid that came back home, she became the first Tar Heel in the Banghart era to have a 15-point, 5-rebound, 5-steal game against a ranked foe. And so you look at Navarre and Lexi Donarski, who's been on an absolute tear shooting the ball from behind the arc. There's different players that have the ability to step up. And even if an Usby or a Deja Kelly has an off night, Carolina's been fine so far this year. And that's a trend that can only help the Tar Heels as they go along and really speaks to that depth.
It's the voice of Matt Krause. He calls the games for UNC's women's basketball team. He's seen them all this year. And what's something you're looking forward to going forward into the season as we kind of get into the big, important games of February?
Big important games of February is absolutely right, Andrew. Here's a wild quirk for you, okay? So Carolina has an in-season home-and-home, 2 games apiece against NC State, Duke, and Virginia Tech, who is an elite women's basketball program. They went to the Final Four last year. So those are 3 opponents that Carolina will not see for the first time until February 1st or later, yet plays both of them, or all 3 of them, rather, 2 times each. So 6 of the final 9 regular season games come against NC State, Duke, Virginia Tech. All great teams, all big rivals, and February has the potential to be a lot of fun. Very tense, any way you slice it. There's going to be a lot of high-level, high-stakes basketball to come once that calendar turns over to February.
So it almost feels like no matter how good they are for the rest of this month, the ACC title is going to be decided kind of in that last 3 weeks of February there when all those teams are battling it out.
Oh, for sure. And Carolina's 3-0 in the ACC, and I looked this up last night. 12 of the previous 14 times in program history they've done so started 3-0 in the ACC. They've been a top 4 seed in the ACC tournament, so you can only hope that trend continues. But as we just said, they're really going to have to go out and earn it in February.
Been speaking with Matt Krause about the UNC women's basketball team. We're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
Big game on Thursday. Opportunity to beat a third straight ranked team in as many games. Taking on number 21 Florida State on the road in Tallahassee. Seminoles won in Carmichael last year, so Carolina trying to get a little bit of revenge out there on the road. And tip-off is at 6 o'clock Thursday night in Tallahassee.
That'll be right after we wrap up News on the Hill. You can hear Matt call all that action on 97.9 The Hill. Matt, thanks again for making the time this afternoon, and I look forward to catching up again later in the season.
Andrew, I appreciate it. Look forward to it as well.